So this morning we come, what we'll do is I'll just speak a little bit, and then Brother Daniel will speak some, and we'll have a video of Brother Minoru at the end. Hopefully we'll start that by 9:55, and that will be the conclusion of our college training. But this morning we'll take the last meeting under evening session. It's message 6, the revelation of the mystery, economy of God in Ephesians, and the title is The Corporate Warrior. The Corporate Warrior. I want to start by going back to what Brother David Ho shared last night from Revelation 19. Do you remember that verse? Let us rejoice and exult, right? Let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. That's right. All right, then, that's verse 7, all right? Listen to verse 8. It says, it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. So there you have the marriage of the Lamb. You have the bride clothed in what? Fine linen, bright and clean. Now, just a few verses later, in verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sits on it, called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. All right? So just a few verses earlier, it's the marriage of the Lamb. Then in verse 11, He who is faithful and true, and in righteousness He judges and makes war. Then in verse 14, it says, and the armies which are in heaven followed Him on white horses, this is important, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. So what is the bride dressed in? Fine linen, bright and clean. What are the armies clothed with? Fine linen, white and clean. This shows us that the bride leads to the armies. And the bridegroom becomes He who is faithful and true, who judges and makes war. So the more we are making ourselves ready, we are preparing to meet the Lord, we're loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord, at the same time, we become the corporate armies to defeat the enemy. Now let's look at our outline. How about let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Ephesians 6 reveals that the church as the new man is a corporate warrior fighting against the enemy of God for God's kingdom. How about sisters A? So in Genesis 1:26, we have a revelation of God's twofold purpose. God does not have a one-fold purpose. He has a twofold purpose. And in Genesis 1:26, right, it says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, for the purpose of what? Like it says here, right? Expressing God. We were made in God's image to express God. But the verse doesn't stop there, right? It says, let them have dominion over what? Fish of the sea, birds of the heaven, the cattle, and over all the earth. And it seems like there should be a period there. That's everything, right? You got the cattle on the earth, all the earth. You got the birds in the heaven and the fish of the sea. That's everything. But is that how the verse ends? No, then what does it say? And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. What God was really saying, of course, just a few chapters later in Ephesians, in Genesis 3, you see the serpent, the creeping thing. And so what God's purpose is yes, number one, expressing God, but also number two is dealing with God's enemy. Dominion over the creeping things. especially over the creeping thing, which is Satan. You know, I think all of us and anyone who's a believer will appreciate the aspect of loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord as our husband, the bride making herself ready. It's very sweet. But we can't miss this side. This goes right along with it. This goes right along with it. Yes, God's purpose on the positive side is to express God. But God's purpose, clearly revealed here, is also that we deal with his enemy. And whether you like it or not, you're part of the army. We are part of the army. And we have a responsibility to carry out the dealing with God's enemy. This is God's purpose. This is part of God's purpose. All right, in B, we have the sisters read. Do we have the sisters read A? Yeah, okay. How about brothers read B? The church is not only the body to express Christ. Defeat God's enemy. Amen. Now let's look at these verses in Ephesians 6. If you have your Bible, please turn to Ephesians 6. And let's read at least the first part of these verses, all right? At least verses 10 through 13. What if we have, let's alternate, all right? Sisters on 10, brothers on 11, and so forth. Sisters 12. Brothers 13. How about stand up and read it, all right? I know I'm tired. It's been a long week. Okay, sisters, verse 10. And read it in a strong way. These are strong verses. Finally. Amen. And we can just go to the brothers, but remember to say amen, all right? All right, brothers, go. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. Amen. About altogether, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Amen. So just like it mentions in this point, there are, and like we've covered this week, right, there are many different aspects to this revelation of the mystery. We covered God's economy, right, to head up all things in Christ. We covered the new man. The church is the new man. We covered the inner experience of Christ for the building up of the church. We covered the body of Christ. Right, Brother Tony shared about the body. Last night we covered the bride, but we cannot forget this last one. That the church must also be a warrior, a soldier, to defeat God's enemy. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, this verse, Ephesians 6:12, says our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, authorities, the world rulers of this darkness. You know, I would especially say on the college campuses, there is a lot of activity of the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. And last year, particularly in the fall semester at USC, which is where I serve, you know, we had gospel activities, we were contacting people, and it just seemed like we hit a wall. And few people were coming to the Lord. People weren't coming to our events. And it was just hard to reach people. So we tried analyzing our situation and looking at, are we saying the right thing? Do we need to change our events? Do we need a better flyer? There's a lot of things to think about. But none of that was a problem. That was not the problem. The problem was the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies were just more active than ever. And so some of us just decided, We need to pray. We just need to pray. And you know, there's different types of prayer. There's different types of prayer. There's, you know, Lord, I love you. There's fellowship. There's confession. There's a lot of different types. I know Brother Daniel will touch this. But there's a particular type of prayer to deal with the principalities in the air. Amen. It's a warfare. And we need this. And so we began to just practice this, to have some strong prayer, especially just to bind the enemy. Amen. To bind the enemy. And in many cases, even simultaneously. So we'll have two saints praying while two saints go out and preach the gospel. And before, it was so hard. In a long period of time, you might talk to 14 people, which is a lot of people. And one person would actually talk to you for 5 minutes. Really not good. But once we really started this type of strong prayer, it was a completely different campus. It was completely different. We would walk up to one guy, and then we would just talk to him the whole time. And then he would receive the Lord. And the next guy would give us his phone number to get in contact. And we didn't say anything differently. We didn't change our tracks. We didn't change our events that much. The only thing that changed was prayer. That's it. We needed more prayer. And the reason is because there is a warfare. There is a real warfare, especially on the college campuses, related to the Lord. So in our twos and threes, you know, we're on the college campus, and even in those verses, it doesn't just say, pray. Pray for your brother who's sinning. It uses the terms binding and loosing. Right? Those are terms of warfare. Binding and loosing. So we have the authority as members of the body to bind and to loose. And also, surely Satan is not happy with this college training. And with everything that's happened this week, we're going to go down. And there can be a variety of responses that people have when we might share with them what we enjoyed. Maybe the Lord touched us to consecrate to go to the full-time training or just to give our life to the Lord during this college training. We may go down the mountain. We may share this with some who weren't here with us, some who may even be believers. And they may not understand. And they may even persecute. They may even persecute us for that. On the college campuses, there's a lot of persecution. There's a lot of persecution. So we can't be ignorant of the enemy. We cannot be ignorant. There is a warfare to defeat God's enemy. But we have to remember, even if others oppose us or say, you're too much, don't waste your time going to the full-time training. That's stupid. That's what the disciples did to Mary, right? When she poured out the alabaster flask of ointment on the Lord. The disciples said, why are you wasting this? They were persecuting her. But the Lord really appreciated it. But we have to realize that if people oppose us or persecute us for standing for the Lord or tell us you're too much, you're too extreme, we have to realize that our warfare is not against blood and flesh. It's Satan. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies that are just operating to frustrate us, to keep us from going on, to weaken our consecration, to derail us, discourage us. But Brother Daniel will have some encouraging fellowship later about how we need to stand with one another. This warfare is in the body. Amen. Okay, let's read, how about Sister C and then Brothers D under Roman numeral 1, and I'll finish up. Amen, brothers. Spiritual warfare. Amen. Amen. All right, how about all together two, and then sisters A and brothers B, and then I'm going to pass it to Daniel. Let's read it with a strong spirit, all right? To deal with God's enemy.
How was your will this morning? Strong in exercise? I just like to remind you, many of the brothers this week have shared Matthew 16, 18. And in light of this message, I'd like to read it one more time with new light. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This is the divine will. We stop there. The Lord will build His church. We've seen the church. Have you seen the church this week?
Amen.
The revelation of the mystery?
Amen.
The body of Christ, the new man?
Amen.
The bride and the corporate warrior. This is God's heart's desire. This is God's will. This is the divine will to build the church. But it doesn't stop there. We can't forget the last part of verse 18. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What this shows us, dear young people, is that there's something that's against this revelation of the mystery. It's so positive. It's so encouraging. It's full of life. It's full of love. God's power is operating in us. He's making home in our hearts. We have revelation. We're built up together. We're functioning in the body. We're loving our bridegroom. But there's gates of Hades that are fighting against your enjoyment, against your going on with the Lord, against our fulfilling the purpose of God. So we should never forget this. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. They will not prevail, but they sure will try. So we need to be aware of this. You know, have you met some Christians on campus? You have your table out there at the beginning of the semester, and you meet some believers, and then all of a sudden they start talking. Oh, yeah, we have Bible studies. And then you start talking to them, and they say, the devil did this, and the devil did that. And you're like, whoa. Some believers are devil-centered. They're always talking about the devil. Oh, that's the devil. The devil. Dear brothers and sisters, we are not devil-centered. We're Christ-centered.
Amen.
We just want to bring people to Christ. But as Stephen said, we're not ignorant. We're not naive to think that there's no enemy, that there's going to be no frustration, no distraction, no fighting. And you might be a new believer in the Lord, and if you are, just continue to enjoy the Lord. Continue to enjoy. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. If you're just lying down in green pastures, just stay there. But I like to tell you, as you read through Psalm 23, eventually, you come to warfare. As you progress in the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, as you go on in the Lord, eventually the Lord will bring you to this point that you'll realize that there's a warfare. Brother Tony mentioned on Friday the invisible realm. There's an invisible realm. We can't see it. Behind the visible things, there's an invisible realm. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel shared with us that behind Persia, an area of the earth, there was a prince of Persia. And Daniel had to pray and pray and pray and fight that God's word could be brought. There was a battle. There was a spiritual battle happening. So this is real. And as the Lord grows in you, you will be brought more and more to realize this and to fight with the Lord. Now, let's see Roman numeral 3. Let's read together. Spiritual warfare is not an individual matter. It is a matter of the body, the new man. How about sisters on A? Brothers on B, God's strategy is to use the church as his army to fight against the enemy. Satan's strategy is to isolate us from the church as God's army. I'd like you to underline these words together in letter A and isolate in letter B. As you go back and you're in school, in the church life, in your daily life, in your jobs, whatever you have for the rest of this summer, remember, you need to be together, together. We can never fight the enemy by ourselves. No matter how strong you feel right now, oh, I see the revelation of the mystery. I give myself to the Lord. I'm going to go out on the campus, fight the battle for the Lord. Don't do it by yourself. Don't do it by yourself. You will realize how weak we are by ourselves. Stay together. Stay together. That's why we have time with the twos and threes. This is your fighting unit. Your fighting unit is the brothers and sisters that the Lord has placed you with. Satan wants to isolate us, but the Lord wants to build us together. Let's read C together. The whole armor of God is for the body, not for individuals. Only the corporate warrior can wear the whole armor of God. Indeed, it says that the whole armor of God consists, and we'd like to read these verses together. If you can open your Bible, Ephesians 6, just like to read these verses 4 through 17. Ephesians 6, 4 through 17. I'll read the point, and then we can read the verses. The whole armor of God consists of the girdle of reality, the breastplate of righteousness, the firm foundation of the gospel of peace, the shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. All right, if you have those verses, Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Let's read together. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the firm foundation of the gospel of peace. Beside all these, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. So corporately, we are God's warrior. But corporately, we need to put on the armor. In order to fight wisely, you wouldn't go out to fight without some armor. We don't want to be uncovered in our fighting. We want to be covered. And you know who our covering is? The wonderful Christ. We enjoy his unsearchable riches in our spirit. We let him make home in our heart. He's our bridegroom. But he's also all the items of our equipment, of our armor. And I'd just like to give you a short explanation of each of these. The girdle of truth. Brothers, we need a girdle of truth. I know sisters may know more about girdles. They strengthen your inner being, right? The middle of your being. Strengthen you. Brothers, it's kind of like a belt. You need to wear your belt when you go out to the campus. Yeah, you don't go out just in your swim trunks, tank top, flip-flops. Let's go and take USC for Christ. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You need to be girded up. Girded. What are you girded with? You're girded with truth. This doesn't mean just that you have knowledge. You know what this means? This means that you live Christ as reality. The truth refers to God in Christ as reality in our living. This is Christ lived out by us. This strengthens our entire being to stand. If you have a living of Christ, if you enjoy the Lord day by day, if you live out Christ, that will strengthen your entire being to fight the battle. If we're loose in our living, say, oh yeah, I'm going to go fight for the Lord. There's no way. There's no strengthening. There's no girding up of your being. Our girding up is by having Christ as our reality, living out through us. Then two, in addition to this girdle of reality, we need the breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness covers us. What is this? Christ himself is our righteousness that covers our conscience and guards us from Satan's accusations. What is your righteousness? It's not that you were good today. Oh, I didn't sin today. Oh, I prophesied in the meeting, so now I'm righteous. I preached the gospel today. Our righteousness is not what we do. Our righteousness is Christ himself. We need to remember this every day. The overcomers overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The overcomers are not perfect persons, but they have the perfect blood. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? You have the blood of Christ. Whenever we fail, we come back to the Lord. Lord, I take your blood. Cleanse me. Lord, you are my righteousness. This is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness to cover our conscience and guard us from Satan's accusations. Then, what's next? Then we need the gospel of peace to be our shodding our feet, our boots. Christ made peace for us with both God and man on the cross. Have you been enjoying peace this week? You have peace with God, and you have peace with man. Christ made this on the cross, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 2. This peace has become our gospel. This is what every person is seeking for, peace. There's no peace in the world today, but Christ is our peace. And this is our firm foundation, that I have peace with God and I have peace with man. This is what we have on our feet. We have the gospel of peace. And this is our firm foundation to fight the warfare. Then, in addition to this, it says also we have a shield, having taken up the shield of faith. The shield of faith, let me tell you, protects our entire being from the attacks of the evil one. We all need faith. We all need faith. We need faith. I'd like to give you a few items of what we need faith in. We need faith in God. Do you have faith in God? I believe through all the speaking this week, you have more faith. Christ is the author of faith. Faith comes through hearing. The more you hear the word, the more faith you will have. You need to have faith in God. God is real. God is living. God is active. But in addition to just having faith in God, you need to have faith in God's heart. God's heart, dear young people, is always good toward us. I hope you could see this. His heart is always good toward us. Don't take Satan's lie that God is angry with you, that God is trying to judge you. No, his heart is always good towards us. God, we need to have faith also in God's faithfulness. Do you know God's faithfulness to you? We may change, but God's heart, God's faithfulness never changes. Isn't this an encouragement? This is our shield of faith. We need to hold this up. Satan would like to send darts your way. Fiery darts, that's what it says, right? The shield of faith quenches all the flaming darts of the evil one. You know what these darts are? His temptations, his proposals, his doubts, questions, lies, and attacks. You've heard them before, and you'll hear them again. But you need the shield of faith. I believe in God. I believe God's heart is good towards me. I believe that my God is faithful. In addition, we need to believe in God's ability. God is able. We need to believe in God's word. Whatever God has spoken in his word, he will fulfill. We need to believe in God's will. God's will. Lord, your will be done. And lastly, we need to believe in God's sovereignty. You know what this means? This means that God does not make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. Nothing in our life, dear brothers and sisters, is a mistake. When I say, oh, I had this failure. Oh, I can't go on. That's not a mistake. When you have a failure, dear young people, what I've learned through all my failures is repent and go on. Let me ask you, who was it who built the temple in the Old Testament? Who was it who built the temple? We saw that David had a heart for God, but David didn't build the temple. Who built it? Solomon. Where did Solomon come from? If we read the faithful word in Matthew chapter 1, Solomon came from the wife of Uriah. The word is faithful. Was that David's wife? It wasn't David's wife. David had a great failure. But you know what happened was after David's failure, he repented. And God forgave him. And out of David's repentance and God's forgiveness came Solomon, one to build God's house. You know what I'd like to tell you? It's very possible that out of some failure you have and your repentance married with God's forgiveness would be someone, something to build God's house. It's not only through Christ making his home in our heart that God builds his house. It's very often through the experiences we pass through. If they don't discourage us, they can be used by the Lord for God's building. This is a very precious point. I hope you would remember this in the future. God is sovereign. No mistakes. Repent and go on. Now, this is just the shield of faith. We have to finish up. What do we have? The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation covers us. Christ as God's salvation covers our mind against negative thoughts shot in by the evil one. You know what negative thoughts are? Threats, worries, anxieties, and weakening thoughts. You know the enemy will come. You've had such a wonderful time this week, enjoying the Lord, being on the mountain, sanctified unto the Lord. The enemy will attack. What do? Stay in the body. Stay in the Lord, right? You just take up this helmet of salvation. Then, finally, the last item in this armor is the sword of the Spirit. When the Word becomes the Spirit, how? Through our prayer, it cuts the enemy to pieces. The Word must become the Spirit through our prayer. So we come to Roman numeral 4. Prayer is the unique, crucial, and vital means by which we apply the whole armor of God, making every item of the armor available to us in a practical way. I hope you've seen how important prayer is, and I hope you've begun to enter into more experience of prayer this week. In Ephesians 1, prayer is for revelation. Pray for revelation. In Ephesians 3, prayer, the apostles' prayer was for what? For our experience of Christ, that he would make his home in our heart. But in Ephesians 6, prayer is so that we can put on the armor of God. It says, receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this, in all perseverance, and petition concerning all the saints. So in these letters underneath 4, in verse 17, the antecedent of which is spirit, not sword, indicating that the spirit is the word of God. Christ as the spirit and the word furnishes us with a sword as an offensive weapon to defeat and slay the enemy. This word with its killing function must be received by means of all prayer and petition. This means that we must take the word. It says we may take the word. I would say we must take the word by prayer reading, by reading with the words of Scripture and over them, using the words of the Bible as our prayer to God. As we take the word by praying at every time in spirit, we spontaneously contact Christ as the life-giving spirit. Immediately, our praying and reading become living, and we are empowered with Christ and covered with Him as our armor. Now, let us read D together. The more we pray read the Word, the more the negative things within us, such as the flesh, the self, hatred, and envy are killed. The living Word, as the breath of God, kills both the enemy without and the adversary within. So I'd like you to make this connection. Word first, spirit next, sword third. The word of God must become the spirit. How does that happen? Through our prayer. You come to the Lord in the morning, you're prayer reading over a verse. On one hand, you're prayer reading and touching the Lord in the morning is for nourishment. And this is what we emphasize in your morning time. Come to the Lord. Open to Him. Love Him. Sing to Him. Be before Him. And this is true. But as you pray, read the Word, that Word becomes Spirit. And many times we have the experience that that Word as the Spirit becomes a sword. And we thought the sword was so we could slay the enemy. But all of a sudden, the sword turns around and goes, ooh, ooh, to slay not the enemy, but to slay the adversary. Amen. Satan is not just outside of us. He's within us. The flesh, the self, the thoughts we have. We need the Spirit as a sword. Before you can fight the enemy outside, you better deal with the adversary within. This is what I would emphasize to you. One day, we'll fight the enemy without, corporately. But today, we need to take the word as the spirit to fight and to defeat all the negative things within us. There's a good portion in this book. I don't have time. It's called The Teacher's Training. I just commend it to you, pages 20 to 24. Brother Lee said, what has kept me in the church life and in the ministry is receiving the word as the sword of the Spirit. He said, I'm not perfect. This is Brother Lee. He said, he got offended by brothers and sisters, by churches. He said, what has kept me is receiving the word as the sword of the Spirit to kill all the negative things. Now, we need to finish up. E says, because we pray in spirit to apply all the aspects of Christ as the armor, spiritual fighting becomes an enjoyment. This is in Psalm 23. You spread a table before me in the presence of my adversaries. One day you will enjoy the battlefield is a place of feasting where we would enjoy Christ as our reality, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and as the living word of God. These are all the items of the warfare. Now finally, let's read 5 together. By putting on the whole armor of God, we are able to stand against the stratagems, the evil plans of the devil. To sit with Christ is to participate in all his accomplishments. To walk in his body is to fulfill God's eternal purpose. And to stand in his power is to fight against God's enemy. B, in fighting against the enemy, the most important thing is to stand. Having done all, We need to stand to the end. Dear young people, the Lord needs you to stand. On the college campuses, there's a need for some to stand. Brother David mentioned last night the tsunami. The tide of this age is a tsunami. Who would stand? Who would stand up? Not to try to fight against all these things in politics or social issues, but just to stand. To stand in the body, to stand with each other, and to stand with the Lord. So I give you four words. Before I give you those four points, let me just say, by the grace of the Lord, may we all be able to say, as Paul did in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. This is a precious word at the end of our brother Paul's life. By his grace, we could say these words. Now, in order for you to apply this message, number one, pray, read the word personally, daily, not only for nourishment, but also to slay the adversary within you. Pray, read the word personally and daily. Number two, when you fail, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. When you fail. I didn't say if you fail. I know myself. So the Lord gives us a provision. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Don't take the enemy's lies. Don't remain in your situation. Take the blood and go on. Now, these are personal items. Corporately, I give you two corporate items. Pray corporately to bind the strong man and plunder your campus this year. Pray corporately to bind the strong man. Matthew 12:29. Before you go to the campus, you must bind the strong man, and then you can plunder his house. And finally, fight in prayer for each other as Abraham fought for Lot. You remember the story? In Genesis 14, Lot was taken captive. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken, he wasn't his brother, but he calls him his brother. Right away, he took his trained men, and they went and they fought for Lot. There may be brothers and sisters that didn't make it to this college training from your locality. Work, school, vacation, or they just didn't feel like coming. We need to fight for them. As you go back today, contact them. Share with them. Speak to them. Encourage them. Fight for one another. This is how we can be the warrior, God's corporate warrior today. When you fight for your brother, you know what happens? The Lord as Melchizedek comes and feeds you with bread and wine. He supplies you. And then you find out, oh, I thought I was fighting. Actually, Melchizedek was the one interceding to cause you to pray, to cause you to fight. It's not us. It's the Lord who is fighting for us. The last word I give you, and then we'll just have a little prayer. The revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery. See it. Be it. And speak it. See it, be it, and speak it. Let's pray with our neighbor.